1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
This is the word of the Lord.
Reading.
The Gospel is written in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, to be found on page 970 in the Church Bible. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
As we stand, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we ask now that by your Holy Spirit you would help us to understand what you have to say to us today, that we might respond obediently to be more like the people you want us to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do sit down. Treatment and care for the things that matter most. That was a part of a sort of strapline in an advert that I saw just a few days ago for one of the big private health insurers. And it reminded me, because as I was preparing for today, it reminded me of the Lord's Prayer. Now, you might be wondering how I got from one to the other. Well, our physical health is really important. But the advert made me think, what's the thing that matters most in life? And I thought, well, that is following Jesus. I want to be transformed by Jesus through the ups and downs of life. I want to be transformed so that I can worship him and serve him and hopefully lead other people to him in the best way that I can. And if that's the same for you, well, Jesus is teaching on the Lord's Prayer that we've been looking at over just recent weeks with David. It's a great way to help us to do that. Now, whether you see the Lord's Prayer as those words that Peter just read and to say regularly as they are, or whether you use the Lord's Prayer as a sort of framework, a template to pray different things, or whether you use the Lord's Prayer as a prayerful way of life, or all of them, as David has been teaching to us over the last few weeks, it can transform. The Lord's Prayer, this teaching that Jesus gives us, can transform our prayer life and so transform our whole lives. You could say that following Jesus' instruction on the Lord's Prayer is God's treatment and care for the things that matter most. Now, today, as we end the series, we see that Jesus tells us to pray for God's protection and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Protection from the devil, protection from Satan and the evil that he commands. And this is the last of three requests, three petitions in the second half of the Lord's Prayer. And as it's the last week, just very briefly, let's just remind ourselves how it fits in. The first half of the Lord's Prayer is all about God. Jesus tells us that when we pray, we should recognise who God is, his character. We should want to do his will. We want to see his kingdom come on earth. We want to obey him. We want to give him and honour him, show him, give him the reputation that he deserves. And then the second half, when we've got that clear in our minds, just how great and awesome God our Father is, Jesus says to show our reliance and our dependency on him by praying these three requests, these three petitions. Firstly, to pray for our daily bread, for our provision, for the resources that we need to get us through each day. Secondly, to pray for forgiveness. Thankful that Jesus on the cross has won our forgiveness for us, but also coming back, as we did in confession, coming back when we mess things up, asking for us to be forgiven and to be in a right relationship with him again. But also, just as critical, praying to God that he will help us forgive those who have hurt us in some way. And then lastly, we pray for his protection. Protection from anything that would cause us to stray from the path that God wants us to walk. And those last three, they're intertwined, because if we feel that our daily needs are not being met in some way, whether they are or not, if that's where we're feeling, if we're burdened by guilt, if we're dragged down by unforgiveness, then it's likely that we can be lured into a place of temptation and into sin as a result. And our Father in heaven, he wants to protect us. He wants us to protect us from entering into temptation and going on to sin. He knows the pain that it will cause for us. He knows the pain that it will cause for others that we know and love if we succumb. And so Jesus says, pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, two things we can get from this straight away. Firstly, Jesus is confirming to the disciples then 2,000 years ago and now for us, that the devil is real and he's dangerous because we need to be protected from him. But secondly, it's interesting where Jesus puts this in the teaching right at the end. Yes, Satan is real and he's dangerous. But placing it here reminds us that he's beaten. Through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, the ultimate weapon that the devil has against of death no longer holds sway on us because of the Lord Jesus if we follow him. Now, before I go on, I just want to acknowledge that this verse in the Bible is a tricky verse. It's a challenging verse. And many, many theologians and commentators over centuries have grappled with it and haven't come to a complete agreement about exactly how it should be translated. And I'm not one of those great theologians, so we're not going to do that today. I'm not going to go into that detail. I've studied it and I've thought about it a lot, and I'm comfortable what I think about it. And I would encourage you to do some research and dig in yourself. But what I will say is that it is right, it is fine, it's okay to pray that we won't face hard times, that we won't face testing, that we won't face temptation. It's okay to pray that. Jesus prayed that. The Apostle Paul prayed that. It's good if we can avoid hard times, and we should not court hard times. But when we do face them, and we will in our lives, we will face them, the devil will try to use those circumstances to try and drag us down, to try and tempt us, and try to get us to make a decision to choose to do something wrong. He can't make us do something wrong, but he can try to persuade us to go down that avenue. Circumstances we find ourselves in may be a hard or testing time that God has led us into for positive spiritual discipline. And the Bible tells us that when those happen, that we can be joyful about that because it shows that he's helping us to refine our faith. Circumstances that we might find ourselves in could be triggered by some remaining evil inside us, some badness inside us. It could be because of the evil in the world. It could be a direct attack by the devil himself. But the bottom line is that these circumstances, whatever they are, whatever's behind them, they may be hard and they may bring us to a point when we're vulnerable, when we're weak, and when our self-control is under attack. And that's when the devil will try to step in and get us to try and do something that we know that's wrong. It could be, as we were doing in the sketch, it could be stealing something. It could be lying. It could be saying something that you know is going to hurt someone else. It could be inflicting physical or emotional pain on somebody. It could be meeting somebody or talking to somebody that you know is inappropriate. The devil will try to get us to give in to those things. Sometimes the devil will try to say, will attack us in a different way, and he'll try to get us to blame God. He'll try to get us to doubt God, to doubt our disbelief, to doubt our belief in God. And he might say, well, come on, what sort of loving God would let you go through that, or someone you love go through that? What sort of God would stop you doing that? But the Bible makes clear that the devil is the accuser. He's the deceiver. He's the father of all lies, as Jesus tells us in John chapter 8, verse 44. And we need God's protection from him. One of those commentators that I mentioned, a guy called Michael Green, he wrote this, which I found helpful. You may not, you can let it go if you don't think so, but a summary, I'm just going to read it as it is. He says that Jesus tells us to seek the Father's strength to be delivered from the seductions of the evil one, leading us into temptation, and from the power of the evil one, inducing us on to sin. I'm just going to leave it there. I can say it to you again later if you want to. But one thing to emphasise, if I haven't made clear, to be tempted is not sin. Temptation is inevitable. Jesus was tempted. That is not a sin. It's how we respond to that temptation. And we have a choice as to how we can respond. Will we enter into temptation? Will we entertain the prospect of sin? Will we give in to the devil's seduction and lies and deceit, leading us to places to make so that we make decisions we know are wrong? Or will we submit ourselves into God's hands, casting ourselves on him, standing firm in our faith so that we can be delivered from the evil one? And that's where our passage from Peter comes in. If you've got Bibles in front of you, church Bibles, it's page 1220. Or I just encourage you to open it up with me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 9, I'm going to look at. Where Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, gives us some statements of truth and some real helpful practical advice. And remember, Peter knows what temptation was. He gave into it when he denied Jesus three times. Let's have a look at verse 6 first of all. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Peter starts, as we do with the Lord's Prayer, to focus by focusing on God's mighty hand, the almighty and promise-keeping God, who throughout history has always shown his power and his faithfulness to his children, to his people. Ultimately, in and through Jesus' death and resurrection. And Peter says to us that when we realise that, we should move to a place of humility. Humility where we submit ourselves entirely and completely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, in total dependence on him. Knowing that he is mighty, knowing that he is all-powerful, knowing that he cares, knowing that he keeps his promises, knowing that he alone is the one who will bring comfort. Knowing that calls us into a humility where we admit that sometimes we think we can try and do things in our own strength, but actually we realise that we can't. And what Jesus says in John 15 is true when he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And then in verse 6, Peter goes on to say that whatever's going on, trust God with it. And God will lift us up. He will restore us in due time. What does that mean, in due time? Well, it could mean a number of things. Peter's writing particularly about suffering in this particular point, but the whole book is talking about other things that we might be tempted with. It could be that God will lift us up and help us out of temptation at that moment. It could be that God will help us to get through a tough time that we're going through and to stop us entering into temptation or to deal with a difficult time. Or it could be in his grace, he lifts us up by restoring us when we give in to temptation and we mess up. He may restore us quickly, straight away, which is great. Sometimes he may not restore us for quite a while. We have to be patient with God with that. Sometimes he may not lift us up until he calls us to him or he comes with his glorious return. And in verse 7, just in case we didn't quite get it in verse 6, Peter emphasises that humility, our total dependence on God and his grace, includes casting all our anxieties onto God because he cares for you, says the Bible. That heavenly treatment and care for things that matter most again. If you're carrying worries or struggles or stresses and you're trying to deal with them in your own strength, what does that do? That reveals pride. That reveals that you don't actually trust the Almighty God to help you, to comfort you and support you if you're trying to do it in your own strength. God wants us to come to him in repentance if we've done wrong, if we've slipped up, or to come to him in submission, trusting him to care for us. Because if we try to cope on our own in those circumstances, we're going to get dragged down. And then we're vulnerable and our self-control is weak. We're tempted and we can give in to sin. And that's what Peter warns about in verse 8. Our enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, waiting for someone to devour, it says. He's prowling around, waiting for us to be off guard when we're weak, when we're vulnerable, ready to lure us to a path that we know God doesn't want us to go down. And as I said earlier in that sketch, the devil will try to overwhelm us with a roar, his biggest lie, his loudest lie, if you like, trying to give the impression that, you know, just give in because you can't beat it. But as the beginning of verse 8 says, and also all of verse 9, Peter tells us in the Bible that we can resist the devil if we're self-controlled, if we're alert, and if we stand firm in our faith. However tempting or however hard the circumstances we experience, we're not helpless before the prowling and the roaring of the devil. God has given us everything that we need to stand firm. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Ephesian Christians, he writes about the armour of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the good news of the Lord Jesus, that tells us that if we believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have the hope of eternal life. The devil hates that gospel because it's so wonderful. We've got the whole of God's word, the Bible, to help us as we read it, study it, talk about it together. We've got the power of God in our lives through his Holy Spirit to counsel us and to help us through those tough times. And as Peter emphasises in this verse and the rest of that reading, we've got the support and the encouragement of each other, of other Christians, in our families, in our church families across the world. He mentions, Peter, that we're not alone. All Christians face the attacks of the devil. All Christians will come up against hard times at some time. We will suffer together. But we can all support and encourage and care for each other as well. God's gift to us of each other is one of the most wonderful things. It's just fantastic. Don't ever forget to thank God about each other, because it is such a great blessing. We can pray that we can stand firm when we're tempted, and we can pray for our brothers and sisters close by and around the world that they stand firm, knowing that they will be praying for us too. And that brings us back really to the start. God gives us prayer. God gives us prayer that, and most wonderfully and fully in the teaching of the Lord's Prayer that we've been talking about. As some of you know, Ailish, my wife, and I, and Jacob, my son, and we've gone through some sort of difficult, tough times in our life. Quite a few years ago, my son, when he was a teenager, was critically ill with a heart failure and had a heart transplant. And that same year, my mum died. It was a really, really hard period. Very differently, but much more recently, some of you will know that my work has been just so intense and so overwhelming that there's been times when, you know, I've just almost wanted to give up. And during those periods and other periods, I've heard the prowling and the roaring of the devil trying to drag me to places that I know are wrong. But I thank God so much that through his word and his Holy Spirit, and particularly the love and the support of you guys and other people, it's just been wonderful how he's enabled me and Ailish and our family to stand firm. They're big things, but sometimes the devil tries to catch us out. And that's why Peter tells us to be alert. Even yesterday morning, Ailish and I were having a misunderstanding, you might say. And it was getting a little bit out of control. I'd just finished the sermon, really. And we'd set aside Saturday to have a family day, to go out down to Whitstable for the day. And the way that we were going on at each other was getting to the point that the whole day was going to be spoilt, possibly not even happen. And then suddenly, thank God, he reminded me of what my sermon was about, what I was going to stand up and tell you guys about. And we stopped and we prayed that we would not be led into temptation, but delivered from the evil one. And do you know what? We had a great day at Whitstable. Well, Ainish and I did. We walked down to Herne Bay and back in the cold and the rain and everything. Jacob wasn't so keen about it, but he did enjoy the cooked breakfast, so it was all right. The danger for us is not that we're helpless before the devil. The danger is that we will fail to resist. We'll fail to stand firm. We'll fail to pray. We'll fail to read and obey God's word. We'll fail to put God's armour on. We'll fail to support and encourage each other and ask for each other's support. But when we do stand firm in faith, when we do resist, when we submit wholeheartedly and completely to the Lord Jesus, when we cast all our anxieties upon him, as it says in another book of the Bible, the New Testament from James, when we resist, the devil runs away from us. He flees. That's how powerful God is. Sometimes standing firm in our faith and resisting the roar of the devil will involve really hard decisions. I'm not saying this is easy. Sometimes we have to make painful decisions. Sometimes we need the help of each other to make those decisions and stand by us and be accountable. It could be, you know, stuff like, you know, what books we read, what television programs we look at, whether we use our computer when we're in the house on our own. We might need help to stop talking to a particular person or meeting a particular person. We may need to stop doing something that we really enjoy because we know it is tempting us and pulling us away from the Lord Jesus. But at times, those times and at other times, and even times when you are tempted to despair, know this, hear this, Jesus has won. He's beaten the devil, and our belief and trust in the Lord Jesus and his death and his resurrection means that we have the Lord Almighty, our Heavenly Father, on our side every day while we're here for our lives, and that we will be finally lifted up and restored completely when he returns on that glorious day. And as David mentioned earlier, if you have messed up, and I do a lot, if you've given in to temptation, don't listen to the lies of the devil. He'll try to drown you in guilt and shame. He'll try to tell you you're condemned. Listen to the Lord Jesus. Pray to the Father. Come back to the cross. Come back to the Lord Jesus in repentance. And if you're not a Christian here yet today, come to the Lord Jesus. Come to the cross for the first time and receive his forgiveness for the rest of your life. And as the hymn says, the hymn I think we're going to sing soon, then look up to the Lord Jesus in heaven and see him there, your perfect plea, who's made an end to all of your sin and my sin. And know that Jesus has rescued you and delivered you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your death and resurrection. Thank you that you stand in heaven, our perfect plea. Thank you that we can resist, that we can stand firm against temptation because of you, Lord Jesus. Amen.